fact, and you added the principle. Pulse is life. Pulse is life, that was the principle. So when you added the principle to the fact, it brings you to the conclusion. Now the same rule, Al-Alamu Mutaghayyarun. The universe is subject to change. It's changing all the time. Continuously is going through a change. وَكُلُّ مُتَغَيِّرٍ حَادِثٌ. And everything that goes to a change, everything that is subject to a change, is not eternal. So, what is the conclusion? Conclusion, the universe is not eternal. So students were made to learn the subject, mantik. And as I say, in this age now, it's become like compulsory for them to learn it, to understand. They can reason correctly. When you are presenting something, you're presenting a case, or you have to understand something, then there must be some reasoning in it. And when there's a reasoning in it, then you're coming and arriving to the right conclusion. A child or that grown-up, you can understand the whole sequence of the argument. But if there isn't a sequence and there isn't proper development in the argument, then obviously there's going to be problems. So this is just a help and assistant. You don't make it the rule of your life. Sometimes people become consumed with a rule, go by the book. Now that's also wrong. You go too strongly by the book, that's also wrong, because the law has to be applied and you need to understand circumstance as well. If you only know about law and you don't know about circumstance, you will mix up things. One student that was learning logic and reasoning, now he's in the learning stages, you see. So, he goes to a person that is manufacturing oil. In the old day, they're doing it by hand, they got some donkey to spin the chakki for the mill or something, and the mill has to be spun, so they got a donkey to spin the thing. So the student is there and he's asking the miller that you got this donkey and that thing is turning the lever of the mill, right? So, but I see you've got a neck, you have got a bell round its neck. What is the purpose of keeping this bell round the neck of this donkey? The miller says, well, the reason for it is that as long as it's moving, as long as the bell is ringing, I will understand that that donkey is moving. But if it is stationary, I'll know that that thing is not moving. So I have to keep that thing around its neck. And that is moving, it's ringing, so I know that thing is doing some work. Now that student began to use his logic and reasoning. So he says to this miller, he says, what if the donkey becomes a little bit sharp? See, rather than me taking this heavy lever and moving around, you know, just sits in one spot and it shakes his neck from one side to the other. How will you know it's doing its work? It's shaking his neck, so it's got a ringing sound, and you think that the thing is working. So how will you know that it's doing its work? So the miller said, "Bye, you know, you better go away from here, because just now, my donkey will learn a little bit of logic, and make things difficult for me just now." So this reasoning has to be used, but it has to be used in the circumstance. Understand correctly and use it. But in everything you want to use reasoning, too much of reasoning, then you may spoil things. We'll come to this again, inshallah, negative and positive reasoning. But let's start this. We're talking about the earth, the world and the universe, and the universe being subject to change. And when it is subject to change, then it is not a thing that is eternal. So this applies to everything that relates to this universe. Everything, anything that you can think about is constantly going through a change. Even if you look at the planets, the sun and the moon, it's going through some change. And the scientists will tell you that the change is going through is genuine, is definite. Because we can see from the whole mechanism of the sun, we can see that it's going to come to a point where it's going to be totally depleted of its energy. It's giving off energy, but it's going to come to a point where its energy has totally depleted. So it will be there, but without any light, because the energy in it is exhausted. It's got some type of a limited energy, and it's using it up all the time, for the millions of years that it is in operation. But it's going to come a point where the energy that is in it is totally depleted. So, when the thing that is about the biggest that is visible to our eyes, that thing is going through a change, and it's coming to an end, then what about the things that are much more insignificant, like man, etc., much more smaller, much more tinier, less risk, less energy, no, hardly any strength he's got, comparatively, right? So if that thing is coming to an end, then you also coming to an end. And the entire universe is coming to an end, right? Now when it's coming to an end, then what is the logical thing, what is the reasonable thing to do? There are several things that we have to do. One simple procedure is not to attach the heart to anything of the universe. Because it's coming to an end. When it's coming to an end and we attached our heart to anything of the universe, when that end will come, then it will be a rude shock for you. I attached my heart, my mind, everything was in it. And little did I realize that this thing is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. Now I have to separate from it. So the right thing was to attach the heart to the thing that was eternal. If someone tells you, right, you know, you buy this property and lease it out. How much is going for sale? 1 million rand. What would be the return, monthly return? So someone tells you, for example, you know, we'll have an anchor tenant for 35,000 rand a month. We'll have an anchor tenant. Going for 1 million rand, you'll get this amount of rental, right? And every year is going up, the rental is going up 10%. The anchor tenant, what do you mean by anchor tenant? He guarantees you that he'll be here for the next 50 years. And who won't take it? Any businessman will take it. He'll do his calculation very quickly. And he'll make out, by in about 2.5-3 years, I'll free this whole thing here. It'll be just profits that I'll be working with. So he'll do the calculations and he will invest into it. Because he knows this is an anchor tenant, so long will be his lease, right? And he promises that he will stay here with all the legal requirements. He promises that he will be here, so I can hold him to it. You're not going to let go of that opportunity, right? But if you know, for example, that this tenant is coming in, right? This place here is going to be roaring with business, right? But the business is only going to be pulling for about 6 months. And after 6 months, this will be finished, will be broken down to pieces. It's going to be bombed, finished. Are you going to invest 10 million rands in this place here? You know, it's just that the craze and the excitement here, the thrill is here only for 6 months. When it's for 6 months, then I can't be investing 10 million around here. Now, any businessman will tell you, no, I can't do it. If I'm doing it, then I'm a stupid person. 10 million rand, and I know it's only going to be for 6 months, I can't go invest my money like this. So the same law has to be applied to everything of the universe, that it is not eternal, it is not lasting. When it's not lasting, then I can't attach my heart. I cannot attach my mind to it. And don't we see in life that in any phase of life you are going through a change. Small little child, right? How helpless, how useless he is. He's going through a change again. In a few months, in a few days, there is a different look in the child altogether. When he was just born, in that first month of his, how helpless, how useless he seemed to be. Then now when he's about 6 months, 8 months, then I see a different person altogether. There is a smile on the face, his grown, his cheeks are all have become fat and nice. He's so attractive and good looking. So you see what he was and what he's become. Then again, in another 1.5 years, then he learned to walk. He learned to say things, make sentences, etc. Then he's coming to about 5-6 years of age. Then you can send him to a creche or to a school, etc. But you can see the changes in his life. He is not stationary, not stagnated to one position, moving on all the time. See, this universe, the law that I explained, is subject to change. So everything that is in the universe is subject to change. Sometimes you can recognize it, sometimes you cannot recognize it. Now the same person then comes, he is developed, and he comes to his manhood, his full he comes to. And then when he comes to his full manhood, strength, might, glory, money, wealth, etc., then very boastfully he says, Man ashaddu minna quwwa. Is there anybody like me? Mighty, strong, wealthy, power, authority. Is there anybody can compare? Anybody can knock horns with me? There's nobody like me. But he's forgotten the law. When he's forgotten the law, before he knows it, and there's a decline that comes in. Now grey hair comes in, and there's a decline in his health. He can't eat as well. He can't do work as well. He doesn't have the strength as he had before. He could push people around, right? His children, when they were 9, 10, right? And he was about 30 at the time, so he could push them around and smash them up, right? But now when he's about 65, and they're about 25, 30, 40, then they'll push you around. You can't push them around. Now, suddenly things have reversed. You were in a pushing position just now. You were in an authoritative position, controlling position. Now you're being controlled. You can't do as you want. The money can't do you and can't serve you as you would like it to serve you. You have got certain dreams about that money. That this money must do this and must do this to me. It must work out this for me. But you're seeing your money not working out. It's not, those dreams are not coming out. So this is the law of this world, that it must come to a decline. Anything that goes up, it must suffer a decline. Now that is the lesson that is being taught to us in the lesson of this entire universe, that everything must go through a decline. It will come, it will be developed, it will come to its peak, and then it must come to a drop. It must come to a standstill, it must drop. So the sensible thing then is, then to attach the heart to the thing that is right, that is eternal, that is not going to stop at any point, not going to terminate, not going to be depleted at any point, is just increasing and increasing and increasing all the time. So that is only the akhirat. The akhirat has got four sifat. Hada rizquna ma lahu min nafad. One is this, the akhirat has got. There is no such a thing like depleting. The favors there are continuing. So amongst the favors, let us talk about just one favor. The favor that we want is a constant flavor. What? We want a constant flavor. When you say we want a constant flavor, we want something new, something more exciting. I tasted this now, something new. Something more exciting. You tasted it and you had enough of it. Something you want to change on. So Allah Ta'ala guarantees that the akhirat is like that, ma laha min nafad. That excitement doesn't end. You add one apple, the next apple is more exciting. You went through one scenery, the next scenery is even more exciting. Then in Jannat, then once a week or so, however the weeks are going to be structured, obviously they're not going to have the sun like we have it. However the week is structured, then Allah Ta'ala will have a day there. And then everybody goes to that bazaar. Right? The face of your choice, you can change it, you can do it up again. The nur, the attraction, the beauty. Like you will have the choice, your wife has the choice, the beauty of her choice, the beauty of her like, she will have the choice to put it up. Why? Ma laha min nafaz. You see the rule in the akhirat. There is nothing that is going to be extinct here. Nothing that is going to be depleted here. Nothing that is going to terminate. It's just moving all the time. It's just escalating. From one pleasure to the other pleasure, from one excitement to the next excitement, from one experience to the next experience, right? No matter what exciting movie you're looking at, you know, the type of suspense that it's got, but that's lingering in your mind, it's coming to an end. No matter how exciting, how thrilling the story was, right? How thrilling that movie must have been, and the amount of suspense that they had put into it, but then, you know, it's coming to a point where it must end off. Now, Jannat is unlike that. Jannat, that excitement, that experience, the beauty, the luster, everything is just continuing. You had one experience, or the next experience lined up for you. And you went through the second one, the third one. And each one is totally different to the other. And just to overcome that one excitement, that one enjoyment is taking you years. That just that one excitement, one experience that you are going through is not just a second. Yeah, you saw that thing and then what? Some relative of mine was newly married, you know. I'm talking about many years ago, not now. Maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago he was married. So, I was still young at the time. And then someone suggested to them that you must go for a honeymoon. So, or at least one beach cottage, go there for the honeymoon. So he went there. Now, our Indian people, we are used to living together, interacting, socializing. Now, that's our fun, right? And he went there for the second day. He came back, drove back and he came back. So I'm thinking, I'm asking the elders and the family, but he was supposed to be going for a week. What happened? So he says, you see, we went there for the 2 days. I looked at her face and she looked at my face. And then what? After that what? Excitement just ended there. We want some interaction, some socializing, some movement. We want all that. Just sitting one place and sporting, looking at the waves, looking at the sunshine. That is white people's life. Our life is excitement, enjoyment, mixing, socializing, someone is making noise, someone is crying. Now, this is excitement, this is life. So the one thing in Jannat, the one feature in Jannat is مَا لَهَا مِن نَفَاد. It never becomes extinct. It never ends. It's continuous. Number two, لَا يَمَسْهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبُ. There's no such a thing like you getting tired and exhausted in Jannat. Like here you saw something and I said, exhausted, now I'm tired, now let me relax. Mentally exhausted or physically exhausted. There, لَا يَمَسْهُنَا فِيهَا نَصَبُ. No exhaustion. Looking, can continuous. Don't you see youngsters looking at phones? Parents complain, the whole night they can look at it. But by the morning they finish, they're dead. By the morning it's battery dead, and in the class time they are brain dead. They can't concentrate then. By the morning they use up the battery, so the battery is dead, finished. But whilst they're going to school, then they are brain dead. Brain can't function then. Took so much, can't take it. But Jannat, Allah Pak says, لَا يَمَسْتُنَا فِيهَا نَصَد. No exhaustion. You're watching, seeing, moving around. Exertion, tiredness, exhaustion, nothing is getting you. The pleasure, the excitement, the experience is continuous. You may say, alright, pleasure is there, excitement is there. But perhaps there may be a point in time that I had enough of Jannat, na'uzubillah. You know, you hear of something, every day biryani, chops, every day. So, you want a change, you had enough of it. So, it's possible that Jannat you can get tired of. So, Allah Pak says, لَا يَبْغُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَى. That the third feature in Jannat is, that you don't want to move out. That life is so thrilling. It's so thrilling, like you are in a movie now, you know. Or you are in a cup final, and they are about to score that goal, you know. What will be the silence like at that time? Even you are looking at the movie, you're not at the game. The game is taking place in Madrid, for example. You are here. Right. But at that moment, you know, there's pin drop silence. Everybody is watching also. Pin drop silence. As though we don't want to disturb that person that is on that side. We're so excited about the whole thing. So that is Jannat. لَا يَبْهُونَ عَنْهَا حِوَلَى. You don't want to move. It's just exciting. Exciting. The adrenaline is just going up all the time. It's moving all the time. لَا يَمَسْتُنَا فِيهَا نَصَبُ وَلَا يَمَسْتُنَا فِيهَا لُغُوب. And then the fourth feature in Jannat is that nothing that is painful, whether it is a comment, whether it is a criticism, whether it is some bad foul language, something that is vulgar, painful, absolutely nothing. Because Allah wants you to be excited all the time, going through new experiences all the time, not exhausted at any time. So he doesn't want you to listen to anything that's going to be painful. Nothing. That painful that is either made up or painful pain that is real. Sometimes that pain is made up and sometimes that pain is real. Once I was 1970s, you know, I was coming out from Nizamuddin, Merkez. You know. So it was still very simple at the time. Merkez and the surroundings were quite simple. So as I'm walking out, and from one direction I can hear, I can see a car, there's a lot of screams, you know. Someone is screaming like, hey, like someone is dying, you know. But on the side of the road I see people well-clad, suits and ties, and they're all rejoicing and very casual about the whole thing. Now, in my naivety I'm saying, okay, someone is dying inside that car and these people are celebrating. So, by to samjhane, you didn't understand the whole thing. So what is this? No, this is a wedding procedure. So how does it blend in? He says, no. You see, as the girl is leaving, Hindu custom is, as the girl is leaving, then they play a record, you see. And the record, they induce tears. Like, you know, when a woman is pregnant, then they're inducing labor. Yeah, they have to induce tears. So they play a record. You remember, you were the apple of the eye of your mother, you know. And how you used to put the cherry on the top of the cake, you know. And you know, how you used to serve the scone with the coffee to your father, you know. And you know, how you used to look so well in the laps of your mother, you know. Now they're making, they're reminiscing all the old memories. Where she don't want to cry also, she'll cry. And they will count it as a very happy, successful wedding, right? In the Tabligh Jamaat, say it's a successful ijtima if 1,000 Jamaats came out. Here they count the success on the drop of the tears. So much of tears came out, so now that's a success. So, in Jannat there is no exhaustion, no tiredness, you don't want to move around. The excitement is not getting depleted. And to top it all, there's nothing that is going to be painful. Nothing grieving, nothing. So if you want to invest, وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. This is the investment plan. The investment plan must be such as continuous, enjoyable, exciting, experience after experience. That is what you will call a real investment plan. Otherwise everything else, it's really sore, it's really painful. When I gave my heart to something, I gave my soul to it, I gave everything to it, and suddenly I hear that I have to separate from that thing. That moment of separation is extremely difficult. It's very, very painful. I had this. And I have to leave it. Now as you are aging up and you are painful about your youth is gone. Everything is wearing out in you. All the parts are getting worn out. Don't you then reminisce your past? I was young, I was strong, I could have done this. And you're grieving about the past. So the same will happen with wealth, with your age, with your strength, with your energy. When you don't realize that this world is going through a constant change, is subject to change all the time, when you don't realize this fact, and when you have to separate that, then you are separating with grief, with pain, with a lot of misery. So why don't you separate and separate with happiness? Separate, you have to separate. You know that you have to separate. But when the separation moment comes, the moment of separation, then can't you make that moment of separation a moment of happiness, a moment of excitement, a moment of something that you're looking forward to? You know, as you're slipping into the grave, it's a new experience. Farishtas are coming is an experience. Farishtas saying, you know what, we give you another chance. You want to stay another 5 years? Hey, no, bye. Enough now. You know, you do your job and come take me now. So you're telling the Farishtas exactly that you want to move along with them. Because you saw what they had brought for you. You're comparing this against this. Hazrat Mawlana Sahanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when he's reaching towards his end, you know, when a person is walking in that line, then Allah Ta'ala shows him the dullness of this life, the sweetness of the next life, the hollowness of this life, and the completion of that life. The disinterest in this life and the excitement in that life. Allah shows him sometime through a dream, sometime through a life experience, Allah Pak shows them and inspires them in this manner. So now he's reaching up towards his end. He settled in Medina Munawara for the last few years, wishing and longing to pass away there, right? And someone told him, you know what, Hazrat, make dua now, you live a little bit more, you know, you're serving the Ummah, etc. So his words were, Me kahan tak is dunya ki sandas ko bardasht karta phiru. This toilet here, this dirt and this filth, he is comparing it to toilet. To what point I must keep tolerating it? It's stinking, it's a stench. In other words, Allah Ta'ala is showing him his real abode. And he's seeing the excitement, he's seeing the glory. Then he's comparing it to this world. It's like a toilet. It's like a stench. It's like filth. So, there's no interest in it. The Qazi of the time was a Turkish ruler at the time, you see. And Muawiyah had made some duas at the Multazam. One of the duas he made at the Multazam was that his book, Bazlul Majhud, that is used in nearly all madrasas, the commentary on Abu Dawud Sharif. So he said, this kitab must complete my lifetime. I must see it printed and must complete. So Allah Ta'ala answered that dua. The second dua that he made was that at that time, the Bedouins, the villagers were robbing and they were killing the Hadis that are going for Hajj and coming to Medina. You may have seen in the past, those that are perhaps over 55, 60, that in the old days when a person was going for Hajj, then he would make out his will. He would make out his will, then he's going. What was the reason? What was the catalyst? The reason for that was, he doesn't know he's coming back alive. So they would draw out the will and then they would leave for Hajj. So the roads were very, very insecure. So Muawiyah's second dua was that the passage for the Haji must be absolutely safe. So then you saw that the second dua also got accepted. The passage and the roads to Makkah, Medina was very, very safe. Then the third dua that he made, that I must die in Medina Munawwara. Now this is the third dua that he's making at the Multazam. The Qazi of that time, he was constantly making dua, reading some Durood Sharif and dua, that I must see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my dream. Now, it's a passion, it's a desire, everybody is enthusiastic about it. So one day he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaving the Masjid al-Nabawi. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where are you going to? No, I'm going to attend the janaza namaz of Mulana Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Ukaba Qala Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm going to attend his janaza. So why are you leaving the masjid? No, he made a bequest. He made a bequest that the janaza namaz must not be performed in the precincts of the masjid. Because according to the Ahnaf, the Hanafis, then janaza namaz in the precincts of the masjid is makruh. So he made a bequest that it must be made out of the masjid. So I'm going to attend his janaza namaz, but I'm going to attend it according to his bequest outside the masjid. The fourth dua that he made was, Allah Ta'ala must forgive me and give me Jannat. So he used to say that Allah Ta'ala has fulfilled my two desires. The third one, I am in Medina and I expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he won't deprive me of this blessing. Third one is fulfilled. And the fourth one he would say, definitely when Allah Pak has fulfilled all my other desires, at the Multazam, this one also will be fulfilled. So the gist of what we are talking about today, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, is this, that our attachment, where is it? Our heart, where is it? Now, this attachment plan, etc., is understood through an illustration. Without an illustration, you can't understand it. There must be an illustration before us, we can understand it. In this world, everything goes well when everything is in proportion. When things are in proportion, then it's working well, right? If it's not in proportion, it's not working well, right? You look at a car, then the pressure must be right. In both the tires must be even, right? If it's uneven, you've got full year and you've got quarter year, then the car will capsize, it can't work, can't travel, can't move on it. So what you understand that it must be in proportion. If it is in the right proportion, it's going to be an enjoyable journey. For your physical journey through the life of this world, then you'll need to have everything in proportion as well. the sugar must be right, the carb must be right, the protein must be right, vitamin must be right, cholesterol must be right, everything must be right. When everything is right, the fats are right, everything is right, zinc and iron, everything is right, now alhamdulillah you've got a good body. But the proteins are right and the sugar is going up very high, 25, 30. Then, bhai, you're sitting on a bombshell. Won't you say the person, hey, he's in a bombshell, you don't know where he's going to explode. So he needs to get that in proportion. He got that in proportion, he's moving right. But he doesn't have that in the right balance, then he's going off. So this is the system that we learn in this world, that everything must be in the right proportion, to get, everything should be balanced for that thing to move. Right. We want the climatic conditions, and the climatic conditions must be conducive, must be moderate, not too hot and not too cold. Now you enjoy it. But it's going to the extremes. Someone phoned up from Canada, they say it's 36 degrees. The other week they phoned up 41 degrees. Bhai, wahan par ja karke rehne ki zarurat kya padi unko? What was the need for him to go and live like that? He rather live in his chiller room. He needed that to live that cold. He rather live here. So temperatures are going on that side. That, you know, is dropping, and is dropping so bad. Right? Now you don't feel comfortable. You have to virtually live within the homes. So you need that temperature to be just right for you to be able to exist. But the temperature is not right, then you don't enjoy that state. By the same token, again, you look at it. Now, you in a marital life, right? Now, you don't want a rocky marital life. You want that marital life to go well. Then the proportions must be right. Now, what proportions must be right? The proportions in your affinity. In your affinity, in your attachment, then you need to have the right proportions. You got the right proportions, then this domestic life or this marital life is going on well. Now you got two classes of people with you in your life. You got, for example, you've got your wife, and number two, you have got your maid and your worker. So if the affinity is right, the attachment is right, then the marital life is going very well. It's going very well, it's smooth, it's very, very enjoyable. But if the attachment, the affinity is not right, then it's rocky. Nobody can say that I've got so much of attachment for my business and for my wealth, I hardly give time to my wife, but I've got a beautiful, very smooth life at home. If he is not giving that type of attention, quality time to his wife, then that life is going to be rocky. No matter how much he polishes himself, he doesn't talk about it, just hushes it, sweeps it under the carpet, but the fact that he's giving so much of time to this and so little time here, that means that's evidence enough he's going through a very rocky period. His mind is very, very uneasy. He's feeling unstable. There's instability. What's going to happen now? What is the reason for the instability? That his life at home is not right. Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah used to say that Mia Bibi ka jagra tamam jagro ka murga hai. When there's a fight at home, then this is the root of all fights. It means your mind will be constantly in a trauma, in a fight. Why is not doing this? Why the person not doing it? He's not doing his duty. That is the indication that the home life, the home front is not right. You got a rocky home front. There's a fight on. Either you got a fight, or that woman that you're living with, she's living on the edge. I have to live with this person, I have to live. Now I can't move away from this person because now I've given my life to this woman, this person here. 30, 40, 50 years now, I'm with this person, I can't separate. Where must I go to? So, because you're giving that woman that type of a trauma, your life became traumatic. We think, no, she has to just bend down and she has to just listen to me. You're not realizing that, you see, you've got two dimensions in your life. One is the outer dimension and one is the inner dimension. The outer dimension, you have got some control, some authority, right? Some dirt, some dust, etc., you can move it out. Hay is overgrown, you can correct it, right? Kurta is messed up, you can correct it always. So the outer you can polish all the time. The outer you can polish, you can correct all the time. But the trauma that you're going through mentally, the uneasiness that you're going through your heart, that uneasiness, that trauma, etc., that peace and the tranquility of the heart is absolutely, completely under the control of Allah Ta'ala. And he will give you that tranquility, that peace for now and for the life after, if you are in peace with him. But you broke the peace with him, then you can never be in one peace. You will be always broken down, because you broke the peace with him. And why you broke the peace? How you broke the peace? You broke her to pieces. So you are in pieces. And you want it to go smooth, then you go and correct this relationship. This is what we need to learn from them. Right? Remember, this material is fleeting. It's today with you, tomorrow with someone else. Right? Today, you have lofty intentions. Tomorrow, someone else is at the helm of the affairs. Will he continue with your lofty intentions? It's a different thing. You don't know. This Banu Umayya, how many masjids didn't they build? Right? And the dynasty, it only lasted for about 8 years. Finished, everything crashed. Everything crashed. They had great dreams. Great dreams. What power, strength, authority. If you only work out, only the king's daily income, what he was getting, you know, his entire lifespan, what he was getting, I think it was not less, just little short of $500 million a day. $500 million a day for his entire life, what he's earning. All of khidmat, then everything stopped. Class. So there is someone else that is at the helm of the affairs. Now you broke the peace with him, and you want your things to move in peace, can't work. So you want your things to move in peace, then you make the peace with Allah Ta'ala. People that are in your home, they are under your care, you make the peace with them. They are broken down, and you want to be peaceful, can never be. It's impossible, it can't work out. Are you wondering, why they're not listening to me? Why are you not listening to Allah Pak? You're asking, why aren't they listening to me? My wife, my children, so and so, they're not listening to me. You know what I can do for them? And what this thing can do for them? Right? You carry on. Using your own reasoning. You're applying your reasoning against the reasoning of Allah. Allah says, I'll make it work. But you come into peace with me. Don't you use your reasoning. Shaitan also uses his reasoning. Allah says, you bow down. You bow down. And he says, no, I can't bow down, because I'm superior. So he also used reasoning, but his reasoning, what it brought to him? It brought him eternal destruction. So Allah Pak is saying, that by you coming to one peace, and you make the peace with me, I will make your pieces together. Your wife I'll bring to you, your children I'll bring to you, but you get your order right. You'll get your order right. How you'll get your order right? By making the peace with me. And you'll make the peace with me. How you'll make the peace with me? By taking care of my servants. And you'll take care of the servants how I say, not how you think. That woman is supposed to be in the shop or is supposed to be at home. Now that is the gratitude we're showing to Allah Ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala gave this so much, now you go into the shop. Now is that showing gratitude to Allah Ta'ala? Or you're breaking the peace with Allah Ta'ala? Then how can you enjoy peace? We're forcing that woman, no, you don't do this, you're out of the house. You felt that you have that authority, that strength, that might to make things happen. And then after that, what happened? Allah Ta'ala pulled all the peace out of the house, out of the heart, it's gone. When it's gone out of the heart, now you try as much as you want. This type of a sleeping tablet, that type of a radio, that type of information, whatever you're doing. But you don't have the peace with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala doesn't give you that peace. Trauma, worry, anxiety, worry, just chasing all the time. Not a moment where you are totally relaxed. Totally calm. There isn't a moment. Now this is a result of you destroying that person's life. Your life got destroyed. So Murad understands that this Buzruganuddin and Awliya Kiram, as more time has passed away, about 42. So it's already about 75 years that he's passed away, right? But nearly every library, every madrasa in the world got his kitabs. Man is dead and gone. But he's alive through his books. What is it? He made the peace with Allah Ta'ala. But how did he make the peace with Allah Ta'ala? Understand that. Understand that. Look, two things in his life. One thing he made in his life, he didn't have children, right? He's got two wives, but no children. So, in both of his homes, he left a servant and an attendant in his absence. That it's possible that in my absence, my wife needs something. So I've got two servants, employ them. In my off times, they must be at home. Right? If my wife needs anything or she's going through any difficulty, Mia Suleiman is there. Just ask him whatever you want and he'll get it done for you. And then he says, میں اس کو اور فرائض کے بعد سب سے زیادہ اہم فریضہ سمجھتا ہوں. After other obligations, I consider this as the most important obligation. See, making the peace with Allah Ta'ala. Then he throws out the opportunities. The opportunities doesn't come of your effort. It comes with his blessing. But that blessing comes when you are in peace with him. See. So he's given one servant here. These people are doing so much for me. They breaking the back for me. They're not supposed to be doing all the work in the home. They're not supposed to be doing it, but they're doing everything for me. All my comfort, my ease, my relaxation, they're taking care of everything. If Allah Ta'ala were to ask, they did so much, they broke their back for your comfort, what did you do for them? So this is the one thing, that he'll stay at home, and he's got two attendants looking at these people in his absence. And he says, sab farizo ke baad isko sabse zyada aham fariza samajhta hoon. After all other obligations, I consider this as the most important obligation. Not making money, not making wealth, and not turning the digits, this is the obligation. When you will then listen to Allah Ta'ala, make the peace with Him, then He gives you that opportunity. Now, see the kitabs everywhere, anywhere in the world you find. It's His things that are flowing. The second arrangement that He made, see, it's a lot of things to learn from this Buzurgan Adil. But now we don't want to listen to them, we want to employ our own reasoning, own brains, mix it up, make it like a kachumar, and then think, no, I am hitting right. You didn't understand, I got the thing right. You didn't understand, I got it right. So what was the need of this Buzurgan Adil? They're cutting grass, what? Can't we for some time leave our brains and listen to them? Try and understand them. Don't say that they don't understand. I haven't understood it. I have misunderstood the whole equation. I didn't understand. I don't know Deen. The second arrangement Mulana made, he says, now for whatever they have done for me, I make over my both homes, I make it over to my wives. This wife, this home here, and this wife. So she's got a security. In my lifetime and after I'm gone, she's got something secure. Some tangible asset she's got. Some section of the home she can rent it out, she can get a good rental, and she can still live comfortably. See what arrangements. So mentally they are feeling very, very relaxed. And how we leave them? We leave the woman at the edge. Listen to me, then you'll be the nikah. You don't listen to me, don't come to the business, you're getting bombed out. So Allah will keep you on the edge like that. How you are treating His servants, then Allah will treat you the same way. But you will keep them relaxed. Allah will create opportunities for you. Your dreams will come true. He'll create that opportunities for you. But you keep the servants of Allah Ta'ala happy and pleased. So mentally He's kept them totally relaxed. Now again then He looks at it from a different perspective. You see, this awliya and how they look at themselves. I don't look at the other's mistakes. I would look at my weaknesses. More than I would look at your mistakes, I would look at my mistakes. Now he's thinking to himself that I made this arrangement. So now this home rightfully is theirs, not my house, right? And they don't have an obligation to house me. Because it is the duty of the husband to house the wife. Not the other way around. It is not her duty to house me. But I am staying with them now. So now how do you work this equation out? Now if I'm going to tell them, alright, I will give you a rental. Each month I'm paying you 5,000 rand, for the comfort of the house. Give you 5,000. Then they will feel miserable. Hame kuch paraya samajh karke paise de rahe kiraya ka. You treat us as a stranger and therefore you're giving us a rental. So they will feel it heavy. They will feel miserable. How will they feel? As though Mulana is a stranger in the house. So they won't enjoy that affection. Then this thing is troubling. How do I look out for an exit from this? Because I am enjoying from their homes. It's their homes now. I mean, it's their homes that I can't say now. I can't go and force them. I can't go and coerce them. I can't say them anything. If I go directly, then this approach will not be the most appropriate thing. Then it must be an indirect approach. I must give them some type of a remuneration. That will cover my entire life. For example, I'm at 60 now. So more or less you expect another 15, 20 years, right? Maximum. Or say, or at 30 years. So I must calculate and work out the rental that is expected, the expected rental for that 30 years. So Murad worked the whole thing out and he made some jewelry. Women like jewelry. They get excited with jewelry, right? Couple of sets he made for this wife and couple of sets for this wife. He didn't tell her this is in lieu for my staying here, it's lieu of the rental, no. So mentally they feel relaxed. And mentally Maulana also feels relaxed that I'm staying here, I'm not overbearing, I'm not forcing them, it is a privilege that they're offering me, and I'm returning the favor. But you see, keeping the line with Allah Ta'ala, now this is only for that person who keeps the line with Allah Ta'ala straight. You don't keep that straight, Allah Ta'ala doesn't give you that opportunity. Then forget it, it's a dream. It's just something that's playing in your mind, it's an imagination, it's nothing but an illusion. So we're coming back, you know, that we need to have some type of a illustration to understand this. So the how do we then distribute the love and the affinity, the attention? For this marital life to go well, right, how do we distribute it? We distribute it in this proportion, that 90% of the love and affection is for the wife, and 10% for the worker and for the maid. But if it's the other way around, the wife will tell you, why you should have rather got married to the maid. You got 90% time for that maid or for that worker, because that worker is turning money for you. I'm not turning money for you. So I am a headache for you. I am a liability for you. I'm just a piece of furniture. So you rather get married to this one. Why you got stuck up with me? This is what her heart will say. This is what her mind will say. Won't she say that? Your affinity is with that one. Your time is for that one. You don't have that time. You don't have that affinity. You don't have that respect. You are swearing me all the time. This one here, you are talking with respect. And me, swearing, vulgar, aggressive, etc. So, then why did you get married that side? So, if you want that balance to be right, then the way to get the balance right is to have this distribution right, that affinity 90% on the wife, 10% on the servant, or the maid, whatever, who else, you have that affinity. Because you can't dispute that you need that wealth. For your smooth passage through this life, you need that. You need that worker, you need that maid, you need everybody you need. So you gave that type of affinity and affection, so this is working out. And that affinity that was required for the good being of your mind, of your soul, of your heart, you have given it, so this life is also working out right, right. Now we understood it in perspective in this domestic life. Now, let's take it to a different level, the life of the Akhirat. Now, if you want that life of the Akhirat to work well, then that affinity and attachment also has to be distributed in proportion correctly. So, as far as the material is concerned, as far as everything that is concerned, things, material, etc., then the affection, the affinity must be 10%, 90% to the Akhirat, 10% to this world. You need them, obviously you can't live your life without them, right? So you're being realistic. But you are giving them what you are giving them, 10%, 90% to Allah Ta'ala. So they can't rule and influence your deen. As far as your deen is concerned, they can't influence it. But if it was the other way around, you have given 90% to them and 10% to Allah Ta'ala, then you allowed them to influence your deen. You allowed your business to influence your deen. You allowed your wife to influence your deen. You have allowed your children to influence your deen. If it's the other way around, you distribute your attention and your affinity in this manner, 90% for Allah Ta'ala and the Akhirat and 10% here, then wherever you want to say, hey, jump off, they have to jump off. You can jump on, you can jump on, right? So you know, you are calling the shots. You are making the decision. They are not making the decision. Otherwise, your business is going to make your decision. Your wealth is going to make your decision. Your wife is going to make your decision. Everybody else is going to influence you. And you got the distribution right, then you can say, no, you jump off. Interest, you jump off. Vulgar and aggression, you jump off. Being rude and impolite, you jump off. Using very aggressive marketing styles, you jump off. Because Allah Pak doesn't like it. Being aggressive, using aggressive marketing styles, Allah Pak doesn't like it. Jump off. Because my affinity, my attention is first primarily with Allah Ta'ala. and then with all you things, right? So he knows how to make the distribution because he's balanced. And if he's not balanced, then the ride to the akhirah is going to be a very rocky one, very troublesome one. For him to part, it's going to be extremely difficult. I can't leave out that interest. I can't leave out that haram. I can't leave out this thing here. I can't leave out looking at wrong, listening to wrong. I can't leave it out because the affinity has become a drug. It's become an addiction. It's become a dependence. I can't leave it out. See. But if the distribution is right, there is not a problem. You go outside and you go one side. Now, let's look at another illustration to make it even more clear, realistic. To be more realistic, look at another illustration. But this illustration is an illustration. Until you don't apply it, then it's not going to teach you anything. You have to apply it, you have to think about it, you're going to reflect about it. It will make the picture much more easier for you. See, if you are constipated for a couple of days, 3-4 days, right? Can't go out. Number one, you can't go out. Number two, you can't, very badly constipated. Bloated you're feeling, miserable you're feeling. Anyway, you made some special dua or something, and then you went toilet, right? Everything came out. That 1.5-2 liters that were stuck all came out. That other things also came out, right? Now, you don't go and advertise in the world, you know, 2 kilos came out and 2 liters came out. You just talk about it. You will definitely feel the relief. You'll feel very nice about it. Very nice, very relieved, very happy, comfortable. And you're looking for that thing, you know, to come out. But you're not going to be advertising it. See, I got this much. You know, 2 kilos came out. You're not going to count that thing. You're not going to measure that thing. You're not going to measure that urine. You're not going to measure this thing here. Now, this is the type of affinity that we need to have with this wealth, that we need it for that mental relief. For that physical relief, we do need it. We can't dispute that we don't need that relief. We need it for our mental relief. But this is the proportion. We can't go talk about, oh, I got this, and I'll make this happen, and make that happen, and I'll do this. There's nothing doing. You get the distribution right. And don't talk about it. Because it's not a thing that is worthy of being spoken about. Allah, in fact, curses that person. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةِ اللُّمَزَ أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالَهُ وَعَدَّدَ. The one that scandals and the one that backbites. Allah Ta'ala is cursing that person. جَمَعَ مَالَهُ وَعَدَّدَ. He piles up his wealth. This investment bringing me this. This is bringing me this. This is bringing me this. And it goes on counting it. Hey, I got a couple of millions here. This is what is bringing me. Offshore, this is bringing. Yeah. And that island, Jersey Island, is a tax-free island. I can invest like this. So, as though you're saying, I got one toilet there, one toilet here, and I can do this here, I can do in that. You don't talk about it. It's not a thing to be bragging about, not a thing to be boasting about. In fact, it's a little bit of it's quite a burden. The thought of that toilet is a burden. In fact, when you're talking to people also, then if you need to go to the toilet, you don't say, I'm going to the toilet. You don't say in any respectable audience, you don't go say, I'm going for number one, number two. You don't say that. You're having walima food. Now say, just excuse me, I need to go make pisaf. You don't say that. You don't even use the word toilet. You say, excuse me, gents, I'm going to the bath. Don't you say that. Or someone says, you know, it's nearly namaz time, just going to make wuzu. But in the wuzu, he'll do everything else. But he will not use this word here. Why? Because it's disgusting. So the same type of affinity that you have with this is supposed to be had with wealth and material. So when you had to give it off, you gave it off. When you had to separate it, you separated it. When you had to keep it, you kept it. Not that you don't need it. Not that it is not a relief, it is a relief. Not that it is not a need, it is a need. But that need, keep it to the point of need, not to the point of greed. Keep it to the point of need, your journey throughout this life will be a pleasant one, enjoyable one. You will be cheering with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak is cheering with you. You'll be longing to meet Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is longing to meet you. Do you want? Don't you want that? If you want that, then this life of this world must be as light as possible. It's like the Shaykh Hadith Muhammad Zakaria Sahib, what work Allah Pak has taken from him. And you say, there isn't a masjid in the world. There isn't a masjid in the world where somewhere or the other, every hour of the day, his kitab is being read. But the sacrifice that he went for, the sacrifice that he put into this, because of this khidmat, he lost the use of his legs. Because of the khidmat, how much he exerted himself, he lost the use of his eyes. But his pain and his cry was right till then. What was his cry? Someone saw him in the dream. He's sitting on the edge of the road. He's blind. Look at it. It's a very instructive dream. This dream is very, very instructive. But open your eyes. Open your heart and you understand this dream. Sitting on the edge of the road. He's blind. And he's got a begging bowl. He's begging people. Right. Now, what's the meaning of the dream? Mufti Abu Rahmat Rai used to be a master in dreaming, in giving the interpretations. He says, number one, he's blind. In other words, he's blinded himself from the faults of people. Okay, I don't look at my son's faults, my wife's faults, this person's fault. I'm blind of their faults. I'm looking at my faults. I know what's in me. Other people's faults, I'm blinded myself. And then, why is he begging? He's saying, he's begging to people, please, please, right, give up that love of this world. I'm begging you, what I'm doing? I'm begging you, give up this love of this world. It's not going to take you anywhere. You build up that love of the Akhirat. Allah Baktofi Nasifat.